Four Midwest Guys presents
What is up, all my fellow movie bros, and welcome back. Hope you all had a good off season. Your bro has been spending this time doing his two favorite things, CrossFit training and checking out all the movies on the radar for this year's Oscar bait flicks. And let me tell you, this is gonna be one interesting year. That's right, we've got just as many movies this year that you have never heard of, and your bro is here to let you know what the hell is the big deal with all of them. Now we are fresh off of a ginormously controversial election year as we enter this year's award season. Now, I wonder what the odds are we're going to see any kind of political statements made with this year's nominees. I'd say about as likely as I am to do an overhead press after a deadlift. And with the movies selected by the National Board of Review and Broadcast Film Critics Awards, it's shaping up to be a year that is looking to meet this year's controversial election head on with their nominees. That said, let's jump right into this year's nominees for the Golden Globes. So what I'm going to do this year is, as I go through the categories, I'm going to start talking about all the heavyweight movies this year and why they're such a big deal. Let's kick things off with the bros predictions for Best Actor in a Comedy or Musical. Now, Jonah Hill, you're my dog, but you don't have much of a chance for War Dogs. Sorry, my money isn't on you, Mr. Moneyball. Hugh Grant has got a great comeback story. Again. And again. And again. And again. But this year, it's for Florence Foster Jenkins. However, he is getting heavily promoted in the supporting actor category for the Oscars this year, and even got a Screen Actors Guild nomination as supporting, so I don't really see the award going to him. And now we got Ryan Reynolds, who gets my honorary military press for the badass and hilarious Deadpool! Yeah, he's not the Ryan that's going to win. Our winner is going to be Ryan Gosling for La La Land. And let me tell you, fellow bros, that movie is going to be a steamroller. Now, as we covered with Hugh Grant's movie Florence Foster Jenkins, that movie is the story of a 40s New York heiress who becomes an opera singer despite being terrible at it. Oh, and it's based on a true story, too. Now, Grant may finally be up for his first Academy Award ever this year. As I said before, it's because they're campaigning for him in the supporting actor category, despite getting a lead actor nomination here. Now, this movie La La Land that I'm expecting Ryan Gosling to win for. It is the story of an aspiring musician who meets and falls in love with an aspiring actress. Does Hollywood like stories about their field of work? Two words. The Artist. Oh wait, and did I mention it's told in the very genre that award shows love to give awards to? That's right, it's a science fiction horror film. Ah, just kidding, it's a musical. Moving over to the dramatic side, here are the nominees for Best Actor in a Drama. Viggo Mortensen for Captain Fantastic has been riding a humongous crest wave, but I don't think we're going to see much of a return of the king here. No, I'm not sorry for that joke. Joel Egerton's movie Loving had a lot of support going into the year's race at the start, but the movie failed to get a Best Picture nomination, so support may not be as high as it once was. Andrew Garfield and Hacksaw Ridge are getting a ton of support, but not as strong as our next two guys. Denzel Washington directed himself into a fantastic performance in Fences, and is just as powerful of a role as we've come to expect from him, but not getting a Best Dramatic Picture or Director nomination has kind of hurt the chances, as well as all the previous wins that Denzel has won before. That leaves the performance to beat this year, which is Casey Affleck for Manchester by the Sea. Now, as far as the heavyweights, we've got two big ones this year. Speaking of Manchester by the Sea, it was written and directed by Kenneth Lonergan, who is an industry favorite who wrote such movies as Analyze This, You Can Count on Me, and Gangs of New York. This year, He is actually shaking off a controversial lawsuit that surrounded his last film, Margaret, which spent 4 years in a legal battle with the studio Fox Searchlight over the final cut. Needless to say, Fox Searchlight did not produce Manchester by the Sea. However, this film is a welcome return for the beloved writer, showcasing his masterful talents and power through subtlety. And speaking of controversy, Mel Gibson returned to the director's chair for the first time in over 10 years since his, how do I put this lightly? His own personal issues. But due to the overwhelming support that came from the Venice Film Festival when this premiered, and the articles published about the film since, that actually brought up the point of whether or not it is possible to separate art from the artist, it's safe to say Hacksaw Ridge is the movie to possibly welcome back Mr. Lethal Weapon himself back into the limelight. That being said, Casey Affleck still has the power to take home this award, and I don't think anyone outside of Denzel is going to take him down here. Moving on to Best Performance by an Actress in a Motion Picture Drama. We've got Amy Adams in Arrival, Jessica Chastain for Miss Sloane, Isabella Huppert for Elle, Ruth Negga for Loving, and Natalie Portman for Jackie. Amongst these, I'd say the one that's most likely going to win is Natalie Portman for Jackie, even though she has already won twice, once for Closer 11 years ago, and once for Black Swan 5 years ago. Now one would think with the wins being so close to each other, they'd actually want to spread the love to maybe a newcomer, or someone like Amy Adams, but Amy herself has also won 2 years ago for American Hustle, but Natalie Portman has actually won an Oscar. So, is it going to be one of those tales of someone gets it too soon, or is it too many awards too close together? We'll see. But Jackie is one of my heavyweights that I will be showcasing right now. Why is that? Just for the reason I mentioned before, that there is talk of a second Oscar for Natalie Portman only 5 years after her last win. Doesn't happen at the Oscars very much. Could it hurt her chances? Probably not, because Jackie is the powerful telling of Jackie Kennedy's story about her overcoming the tragedy of her husband. Because Jackie is the powerful telling of Jacqueline Kennedy's story about her overcoming the tragedy of her husband's assassination to become a beacon of strength to both her family, her country, while finding strength within herself. So needless to say, it's definitely got a lot going on for Natalie Portman here. The only one I think would actually be able to upseat her in this category would be Amy Adams for Arrival, which is another one of my heavyweights this year, which is the story of mankind trying to communicate with the race of aliens that have mysteriously arrived on Earth. Despite the movie actually having a science fiction background to it, and we all know how the Academy feels about those movies, Amy Adams herself is actually getting a lot of praise for her performance, and as I said before, has actually yet to win an Academy Award. She's had 5 nominations, no wins. This one might actually be it for her, but I do not see Jackie actually losing here. So, my money is on Natalie Portman for the Golden Globe, and quite possibly the Oscar. Let's see how the Screen Actors Guilds go from there. Now, we come down to Best Performance by an Actress in a Motion Picture Musical or Comedy. We've got Annette Bening for 20th Century Women, Lily Collins, Rules Don't Apply, Hailee Steinfeld, The Edge of 17, Emma Stone in La La Land, and the Queen herself, Meryl Streep for Florence Foster Jenkins. She has actually won so many times, your bro here can do his own set of reps just to how many awards she's won. Watch as I count them out. Kramer versus Kramer. The French Lieutenant's Woman. Sophie's Choice. Adaptation. Angels in America. The Devil Wears Prada. Julie and Julia. And Iron Lady. And she is also going to receive a Golden Globe Cecil B. DeMille Award. However, I think that's going to be the only award she's going to go home with, because Emma Stone is going to take it home for La La Land, because this is Emma Stone's 3rd Golden Globe nomination, possibly 2nd Oscar nomination, and has yet to win. And like I said before, La La Land is going to be a steamroller. And then we come to Best Performance by an Actor in a Supporting Role in a Motion Picture. Mahershala Ali for Moonlight, Jeff Bridges' Hell or High Water, Simon Helberg, that's right, Wolowitz himself from Big Bang Theory, all you bros. Simon Helberg himself is up for Florence Foster Jenkins, Dev Patel for Lion, and Aaron Taylor Johnson for Nocturnal Animals. Now, this category, we have got a lot of heavy hitters to focus on. such as Lion, which is the story of a 5-year-old boy lost in the streets of Calcutta, surviving many hardships before being adopted by an Australian family. 25 years later, he sets out to find his lost family. Playing the boy at the age of 30 is Dev, Slumdog Millionaire Patel, who could potentially get his first Oscar nomination, and the film could sneak into Best Picture if the race continues to grow support. Oh, wait. Oh. It's a Weinstein production. This movie could have more support than we realize. Just want to keep your eyes on there, fellow bros. Mark my words. The next one we're going to come to is Hell or High Water, the suspenseful story of two desperate men trying to save their family's ranch by turning to bank robberies. This could sneak into the Best Picture race, possibly a screenplay, and Jeff Bridges could get his 7th Oscar nomination, which is why it's another movie to keep your eye on this year, see how well it performs. And another one that's going to be interesting to see how it plays out is Tom Ford's Nocturnal Animals, which is the story of an art gallery owner who believes her ex-husband's novel is a veiled threat against her, and she plots revenge. As I mentioned about director Tom Ford, he directed the movie A Single Man back in 2009, which got Colin Firth his first Oscar nomination before he would win 1 year later for The King's Speech. And Tom Ford could actually manage to get a screenplay nomination or a directing nomination, depending on how the film plays out. And this could also mean that Amy Adams herself gets a double nomination for Best Actress in this or Arrival, or if the Academy decides that this is the safer nomination so they don't have to nominate a science fiction film. Then the other movie I definitely want to highlight is Moonlight, which is a powerful story of a young black man struggling to find his place in the world in a rough Miami neighborhood that's told through 3 stages of his life. This is a very moving story about poverty, drugs, and homosexuality in the African-American community. It is a very strong contender for all of the Oscar categories, because as I described the film's plot points before, it hits all of the social commentary points that the Academy loves, and the kind that gets me so excited to do a set of push-ups! Would have gone for more, but I've got a lot more categories to get through, my fellow bros. Whew. Such as our next category, Best Performance by an Actress in a Supporting Role in a Motion Picture. We have Viola Davis for Fences, Naomi Harris for Moonlight, Nicole Kidman for Lion, Octavia Spencer for Hidden Figures, and Michelle Williams for Manchester by the Sea. Now, of these nominees, the bro himself is going to pick Viola Davis for Fences because she has been nominated 5 times by the Golden Globes, twice by the Oscars, and again, like Amy Adams, has never won. Now, Nicole Kidman has already previously won 3 times before. Octavia Spencer definitely has already won her Oscar. And Michelle Williams has even won a Golden Globe for My Week with Marilyn only 4 years ago. So, Viola Davis, a lot of people love you in the industry and think it's your time. I definitely think it's your time. I definitely think you're a great actress. So it is time for you to get the awards you deserve. Moving on, we got Best Screenplay in a Motion Picture. We got La La Land, Nocturnal Animals, Moonlight, Manchester by the Sea, and Hell or High Water. Now, of the 7 nominations that La La Land has received, this is the category that musicals typically struggle in. So no matter how much buzz La La Land has going for it, it's not going to fare too well here. Or if it does, look for a gigantic surprise on Golden Globe night. Now, possibly Moonlight or Nocturnal Animals could sneak in here, but since this is typically a writer's category, this year is all about the comeback kid Kenneth Lonergan returning to form and releasing a movie that is embraced by the industry. Look for this one to go to Manchester by the Sea. Moving on to original score for a motion picture, you've got Moonlight, La La Land, Arrival, Lion, and Hidden Figures. Now, the Academy's already released their list of movies that are eligible to get nominated for Best Score, and Arrival actually did not make the list because apparently some of its score was previously used. Which, again, I could get into a lot of my rantings about this little... Which, again, I can get into a lot of rantings about how I feel like this little stipulation just keeps movies like The Dark Knight or Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, or movie a rival out just simply because they don't like it. But when a movie like Babel uses something that you've heard in at least three other movies before this and a couple TV shows, and they actually show the clip that used the previously used score to actually right before it wins, nope, you do not deserve a rep for that there, Academy Music Branch. I'll get back on track here. All right, gotta focus. Anyway, here's a category that just gets screwy every year. Yeah, they've called 8 of the last 10 best score winners, but they usually average about 2 nominations that correspond with what actually gets nominated for best score. Possibly because of other little oversights like this, which I will not let get to me. It will not get to me. I'll focus. Alright. Now typically, they're fairly easy to predict here, as they tend to go with what corresponds with the best picture nomination or a career accomplishment, like we saw with Ennio Morricone finally getting a long-deserved Oscar for his movie The Hateful Eight. But since there are only 3 movies here that got a Best Picture nomination, and the other 2 aren't exactly career accomplishment nominations, Groh's gonna go with the movie that has the most original music, which is La La Land. Moving on to Best Animated Motion Picture, we have Kubo and the Two Strings, Moana, My Life as a Zucchini, Sing, and Zootopia. Now, the bro, it's a 3-way race between Kubo and the Two Strings, Moana, and Zootopia. Kubo and the Two Strings and Moana definitely have the international appeal that the Hollywood foreign press might recognize, but I gotta go with the one that has the most buzz behind it and pick Zootopia. But a win for either Kubo or Moana could cement them as a stronger candidate than we realized. Moving on to Best Original Song, we have Can't Stop the Feeling by Trolls, City of Stars, La La Land, Faith from Sing, Gold from Gold, and How Far I'll Go from Moana. Now here's where it gets even more messed up. In the past 10 years, there have only been 4 songs that won the Golden Globe that went on to win the Oscar. 4 of the Golden Globe winners weren't even nominated for an Oscar. Roughly, they average about 1 nomination per year, so take these winners and nominees for what they are. Which is what they should have done last year with Sam Smith and that whiny-ass, wimpy excuse for a James Bond song! When I eat you up, yeah, I was alive, that you can't give up. If I was to cheat, oh, now would you see right through me? If I sing a sad song, would you give it to me? That's it. It's out of my system. Get back to focusing. Back to the predictions. Alright. Bro thinks it's going to come down to 2 songs. How Far I'll Go from Moana and City of Stars from La La Land. And Moana has the distinction of having recent Tony Award winning songwriter from Hamilton, Lin-Manuel Miranda, penning the song, so the pedigree could have it work in his favor. But I'm expecting La La Land to take it because, as I said, it is going to be a steamroller Sunday night. Moving on to Best Director. Now, the Golden Globe winners and the Oscar winners haven't quite been aligning the way they used to in the past. And the past decades before that, they've been averaging about 9 out of 10, 8 out of 10, so they've been pretty good indicators as to what's going to win the Oscars. However, this past 10 years, they've only called 6 that have actually gone on to win the Oscars. So, they're technically still more reliable than the music categories. That said, I don't think we're going to see too many surprises here. Barry Jenkins for Moonlight and Mel Gibson for Hacksaw Ridge might be the only ones that could have a shot here, but Damien Chazelle's vision for La La Land is going to bring him home some more award glory. Best Motion Picture, Comedic, or Musical. We have 20th Century Women, Deadpool, yeah! Florence Foster Jenkins, La La Land, and Sing Street. Come on, did we really think any other movie stood a chance this year winning against an originally written musical about people in the entertainment industry? It's going to La La Land. And we come to Best Dramatic Picture. Nominees are Hacksaw Ridge, Hell or High Water, Lion, Manchester by the Sea, and Moonlight. That's going to be a tough call since La La Land isn't here to sweep this award. So the race comes down to Manchester by the Sea and Moonlight. And it's going to be a tight race, let me tell you. But if I had to make a call, I'm guessing critics' darlings Manchester by the Sea will earn its third win here after Casey Affleck takes home Best Actor in a Drama and Mr. Lonergan takes home Best Screenplay. But speaking of Best Screenplay, that would be a good indicator to watch to see how the tides are going to turn for this category. Because if Moonlight wins there, the race could swing in the direction of Moonlight, which could make it its third award after Mahershala Ali wins for Moonlight. And if it wins Screenplay and Picture, there's its three. So, you can either see Manchester by the Sea win three Golden Globes, or you could see Moonlight win three Golden Globes. Or it could just get all screwy again. Who knows? But I'm still calling Manchester by the Sea for Best Dramatic Picture. If La La Land wins all the awards I'm predicting it for, that'll make it six awards it takes home that night, which will tie for the most wins won by a single movie, alongside One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest in 1975 and Midnight Express in 1978. So yeah, we could be seeing some history Sunday night. But, like I said, the Globes like to do screwy things. They like to go with some other flow. They like to do their own thing. They like to try to shake things up a bit. But they also still like their gift bags from people campaigning for them. So we'll see who gives them the nicer gift bag this year and makes them look the best. Well, that's all the time we have for tonight. Tune in next week after Sunday's Golden Globes, when I'll cover all the winners and see if the Bros picks had a strong showing. Thanks for listening, fellow bros, and tune in next time. I'll be here at the tailgate party keeping the dogs warm and the social awareness radar to the max. Till next time, the Broken E is closed!